Welcome to the Route 42 podcast. I'm Pastor Chris Cahill, and I'm pastor of Christ the King Lutheran Church. We're located on U.S. Route 42 north of Lodi, Ohio. The Route 42 podcast is the place to hear recordings of recent sermons at Christ the King and sometimes special conversations with our members and friends. This sermon was recorded on Easter Sunday. On this day, Christians say the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia! When Jesus rose from the dead, his glorious body still bore the scars from the nails that pierced his hands and feet and nailed him to the cross. In the forgiving challenge that we reviewed earlier this year, we were reminded of the acronym SCARS, or SCARS, and those letters stand for sin, confession, absolution, restoration, and sanctification. Good Friday, the day when Jesus was crucified, is the day of absolution, when Jesus' death on the cross washed away all our sins. Easter Sunday is the day of restoration, because the empty tomb is not only the sign that God restored his Son to life after his death, but that God the Father accepted the sacrifice of Jesus as more than enough payment for all our sins. He restores us to life in his love, and he will restore our bodies to bring us into heaven. Let's listen. In our readings from God's Word this morning, we begin with the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark in chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. I want to say this here, that Mark's Gospel ends at verse 8. There are a couple other additional endings that people have written over the years, but as far as we can tell, when Mark wrote this gospel, he ended at verse 8. So here you go. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the first reading this morning. We have these verses from the Old Testament in the book of Job in chapter 19, who writes, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and then at the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another." And then finally, in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. "Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand." This is the word of St. Paul. "By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, and yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed, And this is what you and I believe. This is the word of God for us this morning. Grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit as always. Amen. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Great. You didn't even need the script for that. That's good. I love it. So we're going to think about that this morning, but first, let's think about the judgment day. Oh, I know. That's not something you came prepared to do. And yet, let's think about the judgment day, okay? People talk about that often, especially with Christians. What do you think is going to happen when God comes to judge the world? And sometimes we kind of act like God on the judgment day to one another. When you say something to somebody like, oh, God is going to get you for that one. And so there's always this kind of background radiation of fear among Christians that you better do it right or God is going to get you on judgment day. What will happen on judgment day? Well, I'm going to ask you to use your imaginations a little bit this morning. Just bear with me. I'm not going to ask you to imagine, you know, Mickey Mouse and something, but just exercise your imagination a little bit and imagine that there is a judgment day that looks a lot like a courtroom with a judge who is God. And God is judging all the sins of all the world. Now, I know that when I say the word sins, almost everybody's mind goes to the big ones, right? Murder. Yeah, that's a really big sin. Okay, that's the kind that'll put you in prison for the rest of your life. That's a big sin. And then all us good Christians go, well, I didn't do that, so whew, I'm glad. But there's a whole bunch of little bitty sins that we just kind of let fly by and we don't pay a whole lot of attention to because they're so itty-bitty that we think nobody's going to notice. And I don't even notice anymore, and probably God won't notice. So here's an example of a little sin. Driving down this road at 56 miles per hour, the speed limit is 55. We know that because that's what the law says. So if you drive down this road at 56 miles an hour, you're breaking the law. But nobody cares hardly ever anymore. In fact, if you drive down this road at 56 miles an hour and there's a police officer on Kennard Road here, he's not even going to care because it's not worth his time and effort and the paperwork to flag you down and write you a citation. But what if we get to Judgment Day and you think you're doing okay mostly for your life because you haven't done the biggies? What if when you get to Judgment Day, we suddenly discover that every one of us has, in the courtroom, a cosmic whiteboard or smart board that is tallying all the times you went over the speed limit. And you're going to get fined for all those times you went over the speed limit. And what if, here's the fine on that cosmic whiteboard. $1,000 for every mile you go over the speed limit. And for every minute you do that. Okay, so if you go 5 miles over the speed limit, that's a $5,000 fine. And if you do that for 5 minutes, the fine is $25,000. $5,000 a minute for every minute. So by the time you get to Judgment Day, your cosmic whiteboard that tallies all of these little sins that we think are tiny and so important, you're going to have a fine facing you of $500 million, and so am I, because they all add up. Even though we don't think they do, even though we're just all blowing them off, they all add up. And what if we get to Judgment Day and God has a whole lineup of smart boards that have kept tally all these years, that you have a fine of $500 million, you got a $500 million fine, every single one of us. What would you do? Panic, maybe. Maybe you'd say, that's not fair. Maybe you'd say, I can't find anybody to help me pay that fine. I can't get a loan from any of my friends because they got these big fines. What are you going to do? And God, the judge, says, If you can't pay that fine, you don't come to heaven. That's all there is to it. You have to go to the other place because there's only two places. If you can't pay the fine, you can't come to heaven. What if that happens? Well, I got good news for you. Jesus stands up in that courtroom. He's already done this. The Son of God has already said, stop, hold off. I will pay that fine. I take care of that fine. I have enough. The Son of God said, everything that I gave up in heaven, I gave up so that those fines could be paid for every single person throughout all of history, all over the earth, for every single thing that you did. If your fine is $500 million, it's covered. If it's $1 billion, it's covered. I will pay it all. And he volunteered to do that somewhere in the eternity of heaven. He paid all our fines. That's what the cross means. That Jesus paid it all and washed away all our sins. We use that word sometimes too. Behind me on the altar here, some of you have seen this word many times. It says SCARS. We focused on this for a couple of months here, this acronym SCARS, to remind us of the nails that went in Jesus' hands and in his feet. And the S stands for sin. The C stands for confession or even the cross. The A stands for absolution, which means wash the sins away. So it's as almost as if you had a big whiteboard of all these sins, and now the blood of Jesus on that cross is the solvent that washes that board completely clean. So now there's nothing on there. That's what absolution means. And then the R is for restoration, God restoring us to his love as his children. And the S is finally for sanctification or our salvation. But here's what I want to think about this morning with you. You don't have to panic about a huge fine. You don't have to panic about a huge cosmic whiteboard that's just black with all the sins that you and I have done. Because Jesus left heaven to come down to earth, to go to the cross, to wash all those sins away, to wipe that whiteboard completely clean until there's nothing on it anymore. That's absolution. That's forgiveness. That's forgiveness of sins. And it's a wonderful thing, but it's not all there is. As St. Paul said, what we preach is Jesus suffered on the cross, he died, and he was buried. Okay, great. No whiteboard, but what happens when we get to heaven? What happens when we get to the judgment day? What if somebody says, well, you know what? That salvation of Jesus only took care of all the sins you committed up until 8:40 a.m. on March 31st, 2024. But if you do another sin yet today, the whiteboard gets filled up right away, see? No. We don't want that to happen. We hope it's not going to happen, and it's not. And the reason is because Jesus has risen from the dead. He died and was buried, and now he's risen again. And his resurrection also means our restoration as the children of God. Jesus can stand up in heaven in this judgment imagination and say, I will pay the fine, but it's not until the judge says, I accept that payment, that the case is dismissed. And so what happens is when we get judgment day, Jesus says, I have paid the fine. All the sins are washed away. And when the judge turns around and looks at the whiteboard, he sees a blank whiteboard. Nothing on it. Yours, 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 mine, each one of us is blank. And he sees nothing on it. And then he says, you get to come to heaven. You get to live with me forever. And it's because Jesus rose from the dead. The cross is the sign that our sins are forgiven. His resurrection is the sign that God has accepted that payment and restores us to be his children. Somewhere along the line in the last couple of months, we thought about the story that Jesus told of the prodigal son, a boy who dissed his father and rebelled against him and ran off into a far place and insulted him. And he came back, and when he came back, the father didn't even wait for him to apologize. He came out and wrapped his arms around him and loved on him and made a big feast. And we said, that's what restoration looks like. How do we know that God is going to do that for you and me? It's because Jesus rose from the dead. How do we know that God has accepted Jesus' forgiveness for us? It's because Jesus rose from the dead. How do we know that we will be able to live with him in heaven forever? It's because Jesus rose from the dead. How do we know that Jesus rose from the dead? Because people saw him afterwards. There were witnesses. Sometimes people say, let's not only look at the cross, let's look at the empty tomb. I'm going to tell you, those women in Mark's gospel, they went in the empty tomb, they saw an angel, they saw the tomb was empty otherwise, and they were afraid. How do we not be afraid? Because not only did Jesus rise from the dead, but people saw him. Peter and Andrew and James and John and Matthew and all the guys who were there with him. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, Mary the mother of Salome, all those people. 500 people at once, they saw Jesus. This isn't just an empty tomb. This is people who saw Jesus risen from the dead, and they knew that because he was, there will be happiness, there will be love, there will be joy in heaven because you and I are saved. That's how you know that God will bring you to heaven. That's how you know that God loves you. That's how you know that he accepts the payment of Jesus to wash away your sins, because he raised his son, Jesus, from the dead. And people saw him. Christ is risen, alleluia. He is risen indeed, alleluia. And it's because we can say that, that I could say the peace of God that passes all our understanding will keep our hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This episode of the Route 42 podcast was recorded live on Easter Sunday at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Lodi, Ohio on March 31st, 2024. You can find out more about us and sign up for our email list at our website, www.christthekinglodi.org. Check out the show notes for details. God bless you and thank you for listening.